As you're seated, please open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to John. As we resume our slow walk with Jesus in this book today by turning to the first four verses of John chapter 15, those verses that Preston just read to us. Between now and mid-June, as a church, we'll be walking verse by verse through chapters 15 and 16. Before, not too long from now, we arrive at our summer in the Psalms. So since it's been a few weeks for us since we've been in this book, let me just remind us that this section of John that we're in is referred to as Jesus' farewell discourse. Everything that Jesus said in these verses, he said to his disciples, in that precious time he had with them, and only them, just before the cross. And this is worth being reminded of, as we've observed many times throughout our journey through the book of John, that the message Jesus gave to them, what we read in the Bible in front of us today, the message he gave to them is the same message for us, because the same Jesus that spoke to them is the same Jesus that speaks to us. There is no difference at all. But what Jesus says to us, just in these four verses alone today, can make all the difference. What Jesus says here in the beginning of John chapter 15 can make all the difference in your life. Take what he says, for example, in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. In other words, Jesus is teaching us this morning the only way to truly live is to abide in Jesus as he abides in you. That's the only way to live. That's what he taught his disciples then. It's what he teaches his disciples today. You and me, the mom who just doesn't know how she can manage it all. The dad who just doesn't know if he has what it takes. The widow whose invisible sadness is an increasingly heavy weight. The addict whose invisible demons are an increasingly formidable foe. The Christian who really wishes he or she was further along in their faith. The Christian who wishes he or she could do more, be enough, do enough. The workaholic who's trying to keep everything afloat. The alcoholic who's trying to numb her pain away. The disciple who's confident that Jesus calls him friend, or the disciple who's convinced himself that there's no way that could be true. Whoever you are, whatever condition you're in, whatever your current experience as a disciple of Jesus, good or bad or stuck or thriving, in every case, for every disciple, at every stage, hear Jesus speak to you today, where you are, the same message he spoke to them, because this same message makes all the difference in your life, that all of life, every step of the Christian life flows out of abiding in Jesus as he abides in you. Now, how can Jesus say that? And that's where we'll begin this morning. First, in verse 1, he can say that because Jesus is fullness of life. Look at verse 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I am, Jesus says. I am. It's the seventh of his seven I am statements in John. We've looked at all these so far. Here's the seventh one. These high points of revelation of the glory of Jesus. Invitation to us to come into and to trust in the glory of Jesus. So he said throughout John and all these I am statements, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd of the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today he reveals himself again as the fullness of God for us when he says, I am the true vine. Now that's an important statement of Jesus, because up until this moment in Scripture, Israel was the vine. All throughout the Old Testament, one of the many images for Israel was the image of a vine, but it was not usually a kind image. Because not only was Israel portrayed as a vine, but as an unfruitful vine. And that unfruitful vine is a problem. And that unfruitful vine, we know this about ourselves, is our problem. Because that is all any of us can be on our own. It's easy to read through the Old Testament and say, oh, those forgetful people, those unfruitful people, those rebellious people, those people. We are implicated in this. We, on our own, are an unfruitful vine. We have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. We need Jesus to not only be for us what we cannot be on our own, we need Jesus to give us what we cannot generate on our own. So just think about in the Old Testament alone, the manna from heaven pointing to Jesus, the true bread of life, the fire by night pointing to Jesus, the true light of the world, the temple itself pointing to Jesus, the true temple and the true door of the sheep. Even David himself pointing to Jesus, the true shepherd of the sheep. So Jesus says this statement here in verse 1, I am the true vine. He's saying even all of Israel was pointing to me. I am the true, Jesus is saying here, and greater and perfect and fruitful vine of God. He says, I am the true vine. I am the fulfillment of all of God's promises, all of them. Jesus is the fullness of life in himself. He is. So then how are we, who are certainly not that, unfruitful vines, Ephesians 2 teaches us we're born dead in our trespasses and sins, how are we unfruitful, then somehow brought into life in God and kept alive in God? Jesus tells us that happens by the gracious love of God. Look at verse 1 again. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. God the Father is the gardener who draws you to his Son and plants you into living union with his Son by the regenerating, renewing, redeeming power of the Spirit. And he keeps you there. He keeps you there. He takes you, he takes me, sinners, lost, blind, deaf to God. He raises us to life, God the Father, and he puts us into Christ, the true vine, and then he keeps us there by the power of the Spirit. And there with Jesus, where he puts us, is not just anywhere. There with Jesus is in true life, Jesus says. The only way to have life is to abide in Jesus as he abides in you. And Jesus can say that because he is the fullness of life. Jesus does not say in verse 1, I am a vine, or I am the vine. He says, I am the true vine. The only way to live is to abide in Jesus. He's the fullness of life. And this is good news for the believer wherever he or she is, who you are, where you are, as you are. You can put one foot in front of the other, knowing that you are held in Christ. So therefore, because Jesus is fullness of life and God the Father keeps us there, therefore Jesus now promises fruitfulness in verse 2. And he promises fruitfulness as a result of the sovereign, gracious, tender, and strong pruning power of God in your life. Jesus says that every branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, congratulations, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, in that verse, there's two categories, two types of branches. The first category of branch is a non-believing branch. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, that's a lifeless branch, sort of attached by proximity only. We see this throughout the Gospels, people who are with Jesus, like Judas, hanging out with Jesus, hearing Jesus, but they've not believed in Jesus. And so just like Judas had just left the room, those unbelieving branches are taken away. But the second category of branch in this verse is the main focus here, and that's the believing branch. This is the man or woman who has been brought into Christ, not through their own effort, but by grace through faith. And the believer is bearing fruit, not as a result of their works, but as a result of the Spirit's work. Every branch in Christ that is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, God prunes. Jesus says the reason why, that it may bear more fruit. Now, this is the work of God in your life. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you'll know this is the sometimes painful work of God in your life. But it's the loving, we could say gardening, pruning work of God to make us as he wants us. If we had time to pass the microphone around right now, you'd have stories of times in your life where God was doing painful work in you, and it didn't make any sense at the moment. All you could really say was, ouch. And yet you look back after years and you say, oh, that's what God was doing. Imagine that God knows what he's doing with you. So let me underscore this again for all of us. This is good news for us. It means that true Christian fruitfulness is a promise of God for the believer, not a requirement from God of the believer. Let me say that again, because this is the kind of difference that makes all the difference. Because if you get this backwards as a Christian, and you think that, well, once I've been born again, I'm required now to produce fruit for God. If that happens in you, you live your life in spiritual prison. True Christian fruitfulness is a promise of God for the believer, not a requirement from God of the believer. And if you and I get this clear as Christians, oh, once I've been born again, and I'm promised then by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God and by the gracious and yes, sometimes painful pruning work of God, you will by grace produce fruit for God by the power of God. This is gospel freedom. A Christian life spent performing for Jesus is exhausting because it's a treadmill. You never get anywhere. You can never do enough. You can never run fast enough. All you do is wear yourself out, trying to perform, trying to produce for God. A life of abiding in Christ, as Christ abides in you by the Holy Spirit, is a life of fruitfulness given by God, not being done for God. Boy, there's a difference there. It's the difference between religious captivity and gospel freedom. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." There's saving grace. This is not your own doing. No one can brag about being saved. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship. Okay, so we're saved by grace, and we're saved for works created in Christ Jesus for good works. You could say for fruitfulness. You're not saved by fruitfulness. Do you hear the difference there? You're saved for fruitfulness, not by fruitfulness, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in other words, works didn't save you. It didn't. Grace saved you. And the same grace that saved you is the same grace that enables you to do the fruitful works for which you have been saved. Because Jesus is fullness of life, he promises fruitfulness. And we just need to hear this morning in case somewhere in us is a legalistic voice echoing in our heads. We need to hear again, fruitfulness does not result in your salvation. Fruitfulness results from your salvation. And this is the difference that Jesus is clarifying here for us. And so he continues now to clarify this, lest we think that our salvation could then be lost or shaken based on perhaps our perceived abundance of fruitfulness. Look at me. I'm good with God because of all the fruitful things in my life that I'm doing. Or lest we think that our standing with God could be shaken or lost based on our perceived lack of fruitfulness. You know, woe is me. I'm not as loved or as beloved by God right now because of my perceived lack of fruitfulness in my life. Verse 3, Jesus provides assurance. Lest any of us think that. Real gospel assurance. One short verse. Verse 3, he says to his disciples, "Already you are clean." Already you are clean. Why? Because of what they have done or because of what they're going to do? No. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So he's looking out at this group. We've looked at this before previously. Already you ragamuffin disciples in front of him that morning or evening. already, before you've accomplished much of anything. This is pre-Great Commission, pre-Matthew chapter 28. Already, Peter, before you've denied me three times, already, before you've gone out today and this coming week to do the work he's given you to do, already you are clean. Meaning Jesus is emphasizing here in this conversation about fruitfulness and fruit being produced in us by God, the Father, the gardener. He's saying, already you're mine. And it's not because of your works, because of your fruitfulness, but because of the word I've spoken to you, he says. Jesus provides like an IV drip of constant assurance to the believer. Because we need this. We need to constantly be reminded of what's true about us as believers, even when we may not feel like it. What's true for the believer is that you are his. Nothing can shake that. You are held by him. Nothing can shake that. You are secure. You are beloved. Not because of anything you do or don't do, but because of the word he has spoken to you. He says here, because of the word I've spoken to you. What is that word? What's the word he's spoken to them? He's referring back to the same word he spoke in John 13:10, when he was on his knees washing their dirty feet. And he said to them there, you are clean. It's his way of saying to his disciples, you're mine. You belong to me. Yes, you're going to deny me three times, Peter, but you're mine. Yes, you're going to fail me at work this week, but you're mine. Yes, you're doubting me, but you're mine. The believer belongs to Jesus no matter what. Now, you are never fully sanctified until heaven. And if you ever think you are, ask your spouse or a good friend, and they'll have something to say to you about that. Sanctification is an ongoing work of God, the work of pruning and growing and learning and repenting and failing and pruning and learning and growing and repenting. Rinse, lather, repeat. Over and over and over again. Doggone it, this work of sanctification in my life. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. You're never fully sanctified until glory, until God calls you home to heaven. You're never fully sanctified, but you are fully justified now in Christ. And Jesus is emphasizing and re-emphasizing and coming at this from every angle he possibly can so that we get this, that sanctification is an ongoing work of pruning and fruitfulness and repentance and his work in us. Doggone it, that's a lifelong work, but justification is done. So let him keep sanctifying you. Let him keep pruning you. Let him continue to work on you to produce more fruitfulness in you. But never, ever doubt, you are clean. Oh, perfect redemption, we sing in that hymn. The purchase of blood. To every believer, the promise of God that even the vilest offender, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Justification now, sanctification ongoing. Jesus is fullness of life, so he can say these things. He promises fruitfulness, and he provides that constant connection of assurance. I heard this morning from someone who got dropped off here on campus by their Uber driver. And the Uber driver says, oh, I drive past this place all the time. What is this place, assisted living? I thought, That's why we got a new street sign, by the way. And I just thought, man, that's not even the half of it. This isn't assisted living. This is abiding living. We're not people who need assistance. We're people who need to be resuscitated. Amen?
Amen.
So if that's true, what exactly is there left for us to do? What do we do? What do we do? Jesus invites you to abide. That's it. Abide, keep on abiding, keep on abiding. Verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, like your fingers can't move by themselves unless they abide in your hand. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me." So what is the secret then of the Christian life? What is the secret to spiritual growth? Come on, let's talk about the secret of growth as a Christian. What is it? Jesus makes it clear here. The secret, even just to getting up in the morning, or when you feel like you're a failure, or you feel like your life is a mess, or you feel like you're just on a treadmill of faith, and you have been. Jesus says it simply here and plainly and clearly in a way that we can understand. You may not be a big reader, and that's okay. You may have never listened to a theological lesson in your life, and that's okay. You may not have ever been to a retreat in your life, and that's okay. If you want to know the secret of the Christian life and of growth in Christ, look at verse 4. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Paul gets at this in that well-known verse from Philippians 4:13. He says, "I can do all things," how? "Through him," through Christ, "who strengthens me." And we know this. That is not to say I can do anything I want if I just quote Philippians 4:13. I mean, for me personally, I can tell you right now, my wife and my kids will vouch for this, no amount of spiritual nourishment will make me good at fixing things with my hands, okay? That's not what that's saying. What it's saying is, what I'm called to do in my life, in my family, as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor, and in your life, in the situations you're facing, in your joys and your sorrows, and you're sleeping and you're waking, at work this week, in the doctor's office, in the boardroom, in the operating room, wherever God calls you, whatever he's placed before you, whatever you're wrestling with, whatever you're walking through, whatever you're stuck in, whatever's waiting for you in your inbox, that's the thing you're dreading the most. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Jesus. Just picture Jesus saying this to you this morning, but not with a finger in your face. Just imagine Jesus. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. He comes and puts an arm around you. And he says, "You can't do this unless you abide in me. So how about we try this for a while?" For the mom, the dad, the Christian, the student, the single, the married, whoever, whatever. All of life flows out of abiding in Jesus. And this happens, let's just bring our guards down for a minute this morning. I mean, this happens in the regular, mundane, day-to-day Christian life. All of us here this morning as Christians, we just keep on learning, we keep on experiencing God's pruning, we keep on settling into the simplicity and the joy and the freedom of abiding in Jesus. I mean, this is living in freedom, living in the joy of Jesus, to know that every moment of your life, every moment of your life, as you just simply cling to Jesus, trust in Jesus, you're free from having to perform for Jesus. You're empowered by Jesus. And that makes all the difference. Again, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear the crystal clear good news of the gospel that you can be set free from a prison of performance for God, and you can live abiding in Jesus as he abides in you, being empowered by God in the day-to-day, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, doing the work, going to the meetings, taking communion, trusting in Jesus, and trusting in Jesus again. Faith is not like fireworks. It's not how it works. And many of us are tempted to want it to be like that. We want our faith in Christ to be like fireworks, where it's always great, and it's always glorious, and it's always bright, and it's always exciting. Faith is not like fireworks. Faith is much more like yard work. And God the Father, Jesus teaches us, is the gardener. He's the gardener. And he draws you to his Son. He plants you into living union with his Son by the regenerating, rebirthing, redeeming power of the Spirit. And then he doesn't just say, now give it a good try, my boy. He keeps you there. He holds you fast there in Christ. You don't produce fruit. You can't produce fruit. Abide in Jesus, the true vine, and God will hold you fast to him. Praise God. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your great love for us, that you would give Jesus, your Son, to be God with us. So, Lord, your love for us is shown in God with us, and not only that, but God in us. Lord, as you abide in us, help us, Lord, to abide in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.